Welcome to the Bible Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I have a great love for God's Word, journal writing, and colorful writing instruments. I combine these loves into one great passion, studying God's Word. I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for coming back for episode 2. I want to thank those of you who have sent me some great feedback and encouragement as I've begun a new venture here with podcasting. I am really thankful that you gave me a second shot at this, and I hope to make the time today worth your while. I kind of planned out the next few weeks of where we're headed. We're going to be talking next week about community, and the 2 weeks after, we're going to do a little bit on, I'm going to do a whole podcast on how I do Bible study, just like my own personal method and some things about my quiet time. And then I'm going to do a thing on do's and don'ts of Bible studies and devotions and quiet time after that. And then I'm going to do a short series on modern day idolatry, which should be pretty heavy and hopefully beneficial to you. So that's kind of where we're headed. I have, like I said, about 6 weeks or so planned out, and I'll be taking, if there's something you'd like me to talk about, I am taking suggestions, and if you have something that is concerning you or something you'd like to hear more about, you can just email me, and we can talk about that maybe in a future episode. For today, I'm going to give you some simple methods for studying the Bible. This week in my classes for the Equip You University at my church, I'll be teaching on God's Word and a little bit about why it's important to study the Bible and why it's important to incorporate God's Word into your life. And so I wanted to just kind of give you some tips for studying the Bible in a very simplified way. I think sometimes we make it way too complicated. I do think that deep study is important. I do think that digging into God's Word and going deeper and deeper is very vital to your health as a Christian. But I think that we often try to start there instead of letting that be a natural progression of our time. You know, usually we should start pretty basic, pretty simple, and then as our skills grow, we begin to go deeper just naturally. It's just something that we want because the simpler things are super easy, and we just kind of keep moving and we dig in a little deeper each time. So for those of you that have struggled all your life with Bible study, or maybe you've never tried it before, or maybe it's something that you just can't seem to stick with, I have some simple suggestions to get started, and I'm going to give you 3 methods of Bible study that are very basic and very easy for you to jump in and give a try. And I hope that this is an encouragement to you. Before I get into those methods, though, I just want to kind of debunk a big myth here. A lot of people, when they think of the word Bible study, they see somebody at a desk with 8,000 large volumes piled open in front of them, big heavy concordances and Greek and Hebrew dictionaries. And yes, there is a level of Bible study that gets that far. Certainly your pastor of your church should be using those reference materials and looking into the Greek and Hebrew to present a more well-rounded view of Scripture when he preaches. But for the average individual person, you don't need those things. I sometimes forget that it's only been about 100 to 150 years that we've even had these things. Before that, people just opened the Bible and the Holy Spirit illuminated it to them. And as their skills grew in understanding, and as they began to get more passages under their belt that they understood, then the more difficult ones became clearer. And the Holy Spirit illuminates Scripture, not all of these big volumes of books out there. They're a help to us, definitely, but we don't need them. And I think, you know, first of all, let's just kind of take that off the table. For these simple, basic methods, you don't need them. Secondly, Rick Warren, years ago, I heard him speak. I was listening to a podcast he did on Bible study, and he said the difference between Bible reading and Bible study is that Bible reading requires a Bible. And if you're doing Bible study, you add pen and paper. And I think that's such a great way to look at it because that's basically it. You know, when you begin to take what you're seeing in scripture and you write it down on paper, that is the act of studying. Just like when you go to class and you start to take notes, you have those papers in front of you. That's your study notes. Those are the things that you're writing down that are important that you want to remember later or explore later or review. That's really all we're talking about here. We're just talking about taking your Bible and adding to it a notepad, a piece of scrap paper, a napkin, a pretty journal, however you want to do it, and a pen. And if you're like me, you will have about 40 different pens in front of you in various different colors. And you only have to follow my Instagram feed to see that I'm very much in love with color of any kind, and especially colored pens. So you just need those. You just need pens. And even though it will be less pretty, blue or black ink works just as equally. And you can have your pen and your paper and your Bible study. And that is all you really basically need. So let's dig into the methods. Once again, you're not going to need any research materials for these. And I think you're going to find them helpful. The first one doesn't have an official name. I just call it the basic method. When I talk about it, I just say it's the basic method. And I learned this as a teenager, and I can't remember where I learned it, to be honest with you. I've been doing this method for as long as I've been doing Bible study. And it's something I go back to, even though I know and my skills have increased and I know very much more sophisticated methods of studying. I come back to this time and time again. I just did it yesterday. I find that it helps me dig into a passage in a deep way quickly and easily, because the answers that you can get when you use this method, the notes that you take can be really profound, but they don't require a huge amount of work. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I keep coming back to it. It's a good introductory look at a passage, and I find it very satisfying. So the basic method is asking yourself three questions as you read the text. The first question is, what does this passage tell me about God? Now, this will vary. How you'll get the answer to that question will vary depending on the kind of biblical literature you're reading. Some passages, for instance, passages that say in Isaiah and Lamentations, where you hear them say, "For the Lord is a faithful God." Okay, well, that's pretty simple. You know, what does this passage tell me about God? It tells me that He's faithful. Other times, it's something a little bit differently. For instance, the story of David and Goliath. As you read that story, you learn something interesting about God, and that is He takes whatever we bring to Him and uses it to accomplish His purpose. Here was a young boy who had no experience, who had no position whatsoever, and really no business being on the front lines, who took 5 stones and defeated a giant. This is a God who will take whatever we bring and He will use it for His purposes. So that's something that we learn about God. That's what God does. As you begin to read the scriptures, you'll see God in everything. It is His story. The Bible is His story. Every story points to Him. Every passage tells us something about Him in some way, whether it's explicitly stated God is or God does this, or whether it's something that you read in the story and you see the behaviors and the actions of God. You begin to acquire an understanding of who God is. So the first question is, what does this passage teach me about God? What is He doing? What is He thinking? What is He saying here? How are His actions being manifest? You write the answers, whatever you see, down. The second question is, what does this passage teach me about man or humanity or men and women or people? Just what does it teach me about us, about what I'm capable of doing, who I am? Once again, you'll see the same types of explicit and implied answers. Sometimes it will be like in Isaiah when it says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray." It's a pretty basic answer there. We are just like sheep, and that we wander off away from Jesus, just like sheep wander off away from their shepherd. Other times it will be something that you'll need to read the passage and see. And many times what happens is you see a story. like, we'll continue to use David and Goliath as the example, and you'll see the story and you'll think of situations in our modern day that are very similar. For instance, when I read David and Goliath, and I see David just stepping forward because he sees an injustice being done and God's name being bandied about by an evil person who's blaspheming God. He steps forward and he does something even though the odds are stacked against him. And certainly we can see situations like that all over our world where people take very little and they put it after a very large project or a large enemy, like the people that are working to fight human trafficking or people that are working in foreign countries to combat right now, like the Ebola virus and things like that. Something that story teaches me about us, about humanity, is that even if we don't have a lot, we still want to fight injustice. We still want to fix problems. That's in our nature. We want to make things better. And so I think that you will need to sometimes kind of put yourself in the story and see how the people are reacting. And then often that will teach you something about humanity as well. So the passage is talking about God. It gives us insight into him. Most passages will also give you insight into humanity. How are we behaving? How are we acting? What are we thinking? What is the actions being produced by our thoughts? So those are your first two basic questions. And then the last one is, in light of what I've just learned about God and about man, what is required of me? What does God want of me because of what I've learned? I've learned something about God. I've learned something about humanity. So what does that mean? And this, of course, will be intensely personal. The same 15 people reading the same passage on David and Goliath will get 15 different answers to that question. What does God require of me? God requires something different of each of us. He's given each of us an individual path to follow. This simple method just takes the scripture and boils it down to understanding who God is and how he works in the world, who we are, and what God wants from us because of his character as revealed in the passage. You can get some pretty deep answers here with some pretty basic study. This does not require you to read commentaries. Most of the passages of scripture that you'll read are pretty straightforward in this manner, being able to find out what we learn about God and what we learn about humanity from the scriptures. That's what I call the basic method. I use it all the time, as I said, and I found it to be very satisfying and a great way to start digging into a passage. The second method is called the Swedish method. Now, I'm not sure if the Swedish people devised this or not. It got its name from a person who learned this method from a group of students who were doing it, and they were Swedish. And it began to be spread around, and now I'm not entirely sure where the exact origin is, but it's called the Swedish method. And this is a great one. If you're getting together with someone, like a friend, and you want to study God's word, this is actually a really good one to do together. Specifically because of question number 3 that's included in the Swedish method, but we'll get there in a second. I'm going to go through the 3 steps of this method. What you do for the Swedish method is you take a piece of paper and you divide it into 3 sections. You can do horizontal columns or vertical columns, however you want to do it. And at the top of the column, you want to put, on the first column, you want to put, draw a little picture of a light bulb. And this is where your artistic ability gets to come out. Those of you that enjoy drawing, and this is where my colored pens come in, because I can make my light bulb yellow. So you want to draw a little light bulb at the top of one column. And then the next column, you want to draw an arrow. And in the third column, you want to draw a question mark. And this is 3 different sections that you'll be looking, 3 different things that you'll be looking for as you study. So as you take your passage of scripture and you open it up and you begin to read, you're looking for 3 different things. For the light bulb column, you're looking for something that either jumped out at you, like just leaped off the page and seems a little bit brighter than everything else you're reading. Maybe as you're reading it, it almost seems like it was highlighted there for you. It could be something that maybe like an aha moment, like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that. It's just something that kind of jumped off the page and stands out to you. And so you're looking for those kinds of things, and you'll just jot those down in your light bulb column. And then the arrow column is, this applies to me. Maybe you're reading in Philippians where it talks about the peace of God and about how we get that peace when we bring our worries and our anxieties to God. And you've been really anxious about things lately, and you know, as soon as you read it, that God is telling you, you can bring these things to me. You can talk to me about them. I will listen to you and I will give you my peace. Then you just put that under your arrow column. That's something that applies to you. It is meant for you today. And then the last column is things that you don't understand or that don't make sense. Maybe it's something that you think you maybe know what it means, but you'd like to explore it a little better at a later time as your skills increase or as you have more time. Just maybe right now, you know, you don't have really time to dig into that, but you'd like to learn a little bit more about it later. So you're looking for things that jump out, things that are speaking specifically to you and apply to you and your situation at this moment, and things that you don't understand or things that are confusing or that you'd like to talk to somebody about. As you compile your list, sometimes you'll find that one column is higher than the other. You know, you have a lot in one and hardly any. This doesn't really matter. You're not looking for an equal amount. When I first learned this study method, it was in a format of doing it with another person. And they were saying that you really just need one in each one that you can share with each other. And what's nice about doing this particular method with a friend, you know, like getting together and kind of talking about your answers, is that the stuff that you have under your question mark, your friend might know. And that might have been one of the things that, one of her light bulb things that made sense to her. And she could explain it to you. Or maybe he could talk to you about what he's learned about that maybe through a pastor. Maybe his pastor just taught on that 2 weeks ago and he has the answer. So that's one of the reasons why this method is kind of fun to do with another person. And sometimes even just if both of you put the same thing down, you both don't understand, several things could happen. First of all, you could kind of talk it out together, and one of you might understand enough of it that the other one doesn't, to kind of start to begin to pull an answer out and feel a little more confident that you understood the passage. But the other thing that does is it helps you realize you're not alone. You know, the Bible is some of it is shrouded in mystery. And so when you see that someone else is confused by the same thing you're confused by, it gives you a little bit of confidence and understanding that, you know, it's not just you and you're not inept when it comes to Bible study, but these passages are just sometimes difficult. And it kind of helps that feeling of camaraderie that we're all in this together. We're all trying to figure it out. We're all trying to rely on the Holy Spirit as best we can. And so that's kind of a fun thing that comes when you begin to share your answers together, and is why I feel like the Swedish method is one that is very suited to do with other people. The last method is the soap method, and I find it difficult to give credit to anybody for this one, mostly just because it's everywhere. I know personally for me, I read it in a book called The Divine Mentor by Wayne Cordiero, and I really enjoyed that book. I recommend that greatly. That book and a lot of other resources, a lot of other books that have helped me in Bible study will be in the show notes that could help you. But in that one, he really goes into a good explanation of how to do the SOAP method. And there are a lot of other stuff. If you just Google Bible study, SOAP, it's an acrostic. So if you do like S period, O period, and you just spell it out that way, you'll find, thousands of hits on it. A lot of people use this method. Partly, I think, just because once again, it's another very basic method. It's a good place, not only for people to get started, but it's also a good place for people who know a lot of Bible study methods to kind of get their thoughts in a small, coherent, piece of paper as opposed to just a lot of jumbled mess sometimes. I think having a format to follow helps clarify things in your head. So the format for the SOAP method, SOAP stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. So for the SOAP method, at the very top of your page, you would just write out the scripture, whatever passage you're studying, whatever one it's going to be today. And I will talk a little bit more in the do's and don'ts of Bible study about how to choose scripture and what your how to get a good plan and some options that are out there for you. But whatever your scripture is for the day, if you're doing a regular following a reading plan or you're just reading through something on your own, you would just write out the passage that's today's study at the very top of the page. And then next would be your O, which is your observations, and you'll begin to ask some questions of the text. Now, generally, when it comes to observation, whether you're following a more formal inductive type study or something like that, usually the observation stage always answers what I call reporter's questions. Now, I was a commercial writing major in college, and I took some journalism classes, and for a lot of my teenage years, I wanted to be an investigative journalist. So I'm very familiar with the reporter's questions. But for those of you who aren't, it's a series of questions that you can use to answer pretty much anything about anything, and it gives you all the pertinent details, the things that you really want. If you think of it like a newspaper story, what do you want to know? Well, who's involved? When did it happen? Why did it happen? Where was it at? Those are the kinds of questions that you want to know. So when it comes to Bible study, we want to know a lot of these same questions. We ask who, what, where, when, why, and how questions. So we approach a text and we say, who's involved here? Who is this speaking to? Who was it written to? Who is writing it? We would ask what? What's going on? What's it about? What's the reason for writing this? What was the reason for being in this position? What was the reason that this person did this? What is going on? The next one is where. Where did it happen? Where is it going? Where do you think it will go? When? The next one is a good one because it helps us put things into perspective with other books of the Bible. If you know when something is occurring, then you kind of know that that Ezra and Nehemiah, how they're tied together. You know that Ezra, because of the dates of when his book was written and when he was in Jerusalem, you know that the temple was built before Nehemiah showed up to rebuild the walls. Those when questions kind of give you an understanding of the scope of the story you're reading, as well as how it fits in with a lot of other books. Just yesterday when I was doing a little bit more research into the story of Nehemiah, I got the date of when Nehemiah would have gone to Jerusalem. And then I began to figure out the date and how long the Israelites had been in captivity. And I realized that Nehemiah, nearly 175 years have gone by since the Israelites, the people in Jerusalem, were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. So Nehemiah was born in captivity, which is what I was trying to find out. So if you can figure out those when dates, you kind of get a good grasp and an understanding of some things as they relate to other parts of Scripture. The next question is why? Why is this happening? Why is this reported? Why is this included in Scripture? Why did he do this? Why did she go there? Those why questions begin to open up a little bit of your understanding of Scripture because you're beginning to ask some things that might be answered in the context or might be answered even in another book of Scripture. It really opens up your study a little bit. So start asking those why questions. Why this word? Why this town? Why this location? Why is it important that I know this? Why was this included and why has this survived for 2,000 years? Another question that reporters ask is how. How is this occurring? How did this happen? How will we know this? How did they know this? Those how questions also are really good to ask. So that observation section involves just looking at the text and beginning to answer questions. Ask questions that begin with who, what, where, when, why, and how. The next part is the application section, and every good Bible teacher knows that we don't just want to give people knowledge. We want the Bible to change people's lives. And where that begins to happen is when you take all those things that you've just observed and you begin to do something with them. You begin to apply them to your life. So in the SOAP method, after you've made all of your observations, you're going to think about, what does that mean to me? How should this change my thoughts? How should this change my behavior? How should my life be different because of what I just learned? You come up with an application, and sometimes it's funny because sometimes there's an application that is just like so glaringly obvious that you almost feel like there is a neon sign arrow coming down from heaven and pointing to the scripture. An audible voice from heaven, you know, saying, that is for you. A lot of times our application is very obvious to us. Other times, application is more for the future. It might be something that we write down, but it's not really something that we need at this moment. It's something that God will call back to us at another time. Application is always intensely personal, just like I mentioned in the very first method, the basic method, when we answer the question, what does God require of me in light of what I've just learned? That same idea of application, there will always be a unique application specifically for your life today. Scripture has a general application that applies to everyone, but there will always be things that specifically speak into your circumstance and that speak into your life in your individual circumstance that God will use to bring about an application for you. And so when it comes to the application section, it could be anything that God reveals to you. Just what does he want you to apply into your life? Far too often, we focus on action. And I do believe that much of Scripture requires an action of us. But there are also a lot of times that the application is an underlying thought process that needs to be changed. We need to begin to see God bigger than we've seen him before. We need to stop comparing ourselves to other people. These are attitudes in our heart that God wants to address. And so don't assume that your application will be an action all the time. Oftentimes your application will be something that God wants you to see differently, a way that he wants you to think differently or see yourself differently or see him differently. The last part of the SOAP method is prayer. And in the method, in every time you'll see the SOAP method explained, they always have you write out a prayer to God based on the things that you've studied that day. If you have an application that requires a strong commitment, maybe this is a good time to write down your commitment about that and pray about that with God. Some people love to write their prayers down. Others find that awkward and uncomfortable. Certainly, you know, if it's something of a sensitive nature and you wouldn't want to write that down, that's fine. You don't necessarily have to write the prayer part down, but I definitely think it's a good idea in light of application to pray a little bit about what you've learned and what you want to do with God's word. The Bible tells us that God is the power, you know, God gives us the power to do the right thing. In and of ourselves, we have no ability, and in many cases, desire to do what God has called us to live the life that he's called. It's a hard life. It requires holiness. It requires purity. It requires selflessness. Those things, they take the power of God in us to do. And so by closing that time of application and going right into prayer, I feel it gives the proper respect and it gives us the proper mindset to understand that, okay, so I've learned this and I feel God is calling me to do this, but without God, I'm powerless to do it. I can only do it through his help. I can only do it with his wisdom, his strength. And praying after you do your application part, I think is really important, and it can be especially beneficial. I think sometimes can make the difference as to whether we get up from Bible study discouraged or not. You know, sometimes you study God's word and you see how far you are away from what God has ordained. And you see that the great gaping hole of your sin and your weakness and your ineptitude when it comes to living the Christian life. And prayer is our way of acknowledging that we don't change. God changes us. We submit and God works. And so look at that prayer time here in this SOAP method as a way of submitting to God and admitting your powerlessness to be able to affect any lasting change without him. And acknowledge that he's the one who will begin the good work that he's already started in you. Those are three very basic methods. They are easy for beginners and yet equally fulfilling to people who have studied for a longer period of time. I will have in the show notes, I will have the outline for all three of these, as well as some links to some other things. You'll want to check out those show notes. I will have some information on where to learn more complicated methods like the inductive study and a few other things. There will be a link to the website for the women's ministry that I'm the leader of, flourishministry.com. On that website, you'll see there is a tab that says printables, and I have all kinds of study sheets on there to do character studies and book studies and chapter studies, as well as lots of quiet time note sheets that you can print out. I will also have on there paper copies that you can print out of each of these methods as study sheets. And you'll just be able to print them out and they'll already have the questions on them with space to write. And then you can just write them in. If one of these methods really sounded interesting to you and you'd like to give it a try, you're welcome to use those printables. As I mentioned at the beginning, remember, you don't need that. You don't need the extra things. You can just use scrap paper and a pencil. For some of these methods, the Swedish method, you could just write right in your Bible if you're comfortable doing that, putting your light bulbs and your question marks right next to the verses if you'd like to. You don't need to have a special form or format for doing this. But for those of you that like to hold on to your notes and maybe put them in a notebook or who like the structure of it to get when they first get started, you're welcome to go there at flourishministry.com, click on printables, and there's a bunch of stuff in there that you can download. And those are all free of charge as my gift to you. Utilize them however that you would like to. Thanks for joining me today. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at tobiblegirl, that's tobiblegirl at icloud.com. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, and Goodreads as Jessie L. Robinson, all one word. You can download today's show notes on my blog at www.journalmoxie.com. I hope you join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.